Woohoo!
Nerd.
Hello and welcome to the Gamerland Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Warsham. With me, as always, is the one, the only, that is what we're going to call him.
Yes.
The KevinMiller.com. Jump and press the circle button, Kevin.
To you, Justin.
That little magic harp is because we've got, what we hope will be a treat for you. What you are about to hear is the first ever episode of our podcast, which was then called the JK Show, which I believe we decided in that episode.
Yeah, I don't think we had nothing. We had talked about it for months. Yeah. You wanted to do a podcast, and I think if I'm not mistaken, I gave you a ring about something random that evening, and then as we were chatting, I was like, "Hey, what are you doing tonight?" He's like, "Well, I thought I was doing a podcast with you." I'm like, "Oh yeah, I should probably come over."
I forgot about that part. But yeah, you get to hear in this episode, you get to hear us basically. We decided to pre-roll everything. From the moment we hit record, we were picking songs that we were going to come in, and then it goes into the show.
And it just starts. And all that stuff. It goes from there. And we were in your dining room, your little apartment over
back in North Hollywood.
Right. And it was a tiny little studio
with little tabletop mics.
Yeah.
But these were old, like mics you would see almost a comedian on stage. They had little switches on them. Now we're in, it sounds like a brag, but just to give you the chasm, now we're in an $8,000 studio. And I know that because I paid to build it.
And it's worth every penny.
I wrote it off.
And it all started in this first episode.
Yeah.
And your drive for wanting to work inside of radio.
Oh.
What I think is fun.
Although it was 11 years ago.
Oh, gosh. What I think is cool that has never changed about the show is that we still, to this day, put about as much thought into the episodes.
I hope I'm not wrong, but I think that's what makes it fun.
Yeah, the like off the cuff, live, improvised feeling that we can just walk in, open mics, and go.
All right, so enjoy the first ever episode of the JK Show. Yeah,
yeah, the JK Show.
Oh, there's a theme song that comes,
maybe, but not in that episode.
Yeah,
we're not calling it that.
Yeah,
sexier.
All right.
Uh oh.
Check, check. Hey, hey.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, how are you? Let's take that out so we get a little more headroom in there.
What?
Yes. Are we banging that? We are not.
I think we're ready. Is this Coldplay?
This is AC/DC.
It's the same thing, right?
Most people, yes.
Yeah.
All right, now, this is what I was thinking we could play for our first song.
Ooh,
it's kind of badass.
Nice.
Kind of cool.
Yeah, it's very Raiders.
Yeah. Or we could do Back in Black, the other option. We have
both another Raiders song.
We can listen to songs at any point during this, too, if we need something to talk about. The other option would be this one.
Yes.
You want that one?
Oh, yeah. It's your son's favorite song.
Well, technically, this is my son's favorite song.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Oh, see that? I clipped it. Is this going to the podcast? Because it's already my favorite part.
It can now.
I was wondering for days how we would begin, and we just began.
Oh, good times. So you want to start this?
Sure, yeah. Right. Let's start. Let's really start now.
All right.
We've already started, but let's start. Yeah, that was the preamble.
Do you want to? You want to let's start with It's Not Unusual then?
Yeah.
All right.
Ready.
All right, here we go. You know what I'm realizing as we're starting our first podcast?
Yeah.
We don't have a title
for the actual podcast,
welcome to. I mean, we could just call this the Justin and Kevin Show. That's awesome.
I think.
Or the Kevin and Justin, if you prefer.
No, that's fine. JK, like just kidding.
JK.
No, that's kind of gay.
Uh-huh.
Ooh, can I say gay?
Yes. The internet. I think we can say anything we want as long as we put a little red explicit tag next to it.
Just so I'm clear, by gay I mean lame or retarded. Nothing offensive.
You know, how would you feel if Kevin was the term for lame and retarded?
I've seen that commercial.
What about the retards that might be listening to this?
Oh, man. Let's just get it all out.
All right, JK. Welcome to JK, everybody.
I hate that name. Why don't we just call it the Justin Worsham Show?
All right, I'm okay with that.
That'd be good.
And then the next episode will be the Kevin Miller Show. This is a great plan.
That'd be good. That'd be good.
This is a great plan. I wonder if people are annoyed listening to the Tom Jones in the background. We chose Tom Jones because this is my son Jacob's favorite singer.
He's my favorite singer.
He's very nice.
I especially, it's a shame the podcast can't record dance moves because the head jib at the beginning of this was pretty
bad. Kevin is speaking of my dance move because not all of us, that's enough of you, Tom Jones. All right, not all of us are quite the dancers such as Mr. Miller is.
That's true.
You invented your very own dance. What I wanted to do for this episode, you know, get a chance for everybody to get to know us and all that stuff is, for those of you who don't know, Kevin invented a dance called the Electric Hula, which has become very popular. Many of you probably are doing it now and don't even know it.
Right, it was invented. While you're listening, you're probably doing the Electric Hula.
And what are you doing right now, Kevin?
I'm doing the Electric Hula, actually.
I was asking in reality. You're counting dimes now.
I was thankful that you put all this pile of change in front of me because it gives me something to do while we're talking. Because I guarantee
already,
by the time we're
already
done.
We are what? We are, I'm going to guess, 2 minutes in and you are bored. Wow. Wow.
But when you sit on the phone, don't you like do things while you're on the phone? You draw or doodle or I create creatures on Spore. Generally, while I'm talking, people don't know that, but if you time conversation like long phone call conversations with my Spore casts, you'll see spores.
Spores. I don't know. Well, you'll have to explain more of this sporeness to me because I'm not familiar at all.
I've shown you Spore. Yeah, who out there, for those of you who don't out there in Radio Land, don't know about Spore, it's a wonderful game by Maxis and EA, and you get to create your own universe.
You know the developers.
Don't you know the developers of your favorite games?
I know EA. Well, this is going to make me sound like I'm a cool guy, but I'm not, because what I was going to say was I know that EA Sports makes Madden.
Right.
And then I was going to follow it up with NASCAR, favorite NASCAR game.
I don't know but they're a publisher. See, this is the thing. If we talked about bands, it'd be cool. We can talk about how one band influenced.
So
you talk
many
about
ladies
video games.
Would be into this right now.
Let's talk about bands.
We don't know anything about bands.
Let's just make it up. I think that Filter was heavily influenced by Beck and Smashing Pumpkins.
I agree.
Let's go back to talking about video games.
Oh, something we know about. I'm beginning to sweat already just thinking about the band thing. I don't know anything. I could look on my iTunes and they have a new feature called Genius that you pick a song, it automatically tells you what songs would go with that.
What?
Like, you've never heard of this?
No.
Like, for instance, like, let's just pick something that nobody... Hootie and the Blowfish. Who doesn't like little
Who remembers Hootie and the Blowfish?
And then if I go to Hootie and the Blowfish, and then I click this little genius icon. So there's Hootie and the Blowfish right here.
Yep.
Old Man and Me, right? So now what iTunes Genius has done is it's gone through... I really hope this is interesting. It's gone through somehow, through some Apple Genius ways. I don't like a product that calls it how smart it is either. That's when I first saw this thing. I don't know if genius is the word. Because listen to what kind of songs it pairs. This is a good playlist. Like, if I was going to go on a road trip, I could say, I know I want to listen to Old Man and Me by Hootie and the Blowfish.
It's like the swivel search on TV.
Exactly. Right? Yes, exactly. So then the next song is Everything Falls Apart, which... So far.
But that's also Hootie, right?
Dog's Eye View, according to iTunes.
This is how much I know about bands. Because if you had played this song initially and said this was Hootie, I'd be like, this is Hootie and the Blowfish right here.
Is this Hootie and the Blowfish?
That's Coldplay. Clearly, you can tell by the ha in the back there. I only know two bands, Hootie and Coldplay.
This is Van Halen, Can't Stop Loving You.
How is this similar to Hootie and the Blowfish?
I don't know. I really don't know. I don't know how it works. It's a genius.
I would do the Electric Hula to this.
You would. And, this is a good song. John Fogerty, Old Man Down the Road.
This sounds nothing like Hootie.
I know. If my father were the Apple Genius, this is a song he would want played, mostly because he's a John Fogerty
fan. It's sort of like this guy's a little smarter than Jack FM, is the idea.
Wouldn't it be funny if this program was basically the same as Jack FM?
Right.
And it just grabs random songs. It's like, we put together perfect playlists.
This is so much like it. We grabbed a number from Chess, the musical. that?
Well, that I'm just realizing is that it puts together a perfect playlist from all the songs in my iTunes library. These are all songs that I like already. I've been duped by iTunes, and I just now realized it.
Wait, it wasn't grabbing those randomly off the internet?
This is my crazy eclectic piece of music.
So wouldn't you know what music goes together better than...
Not without a genius to tell me, I can tell you that right now.
That is so genius.
Oh, a little Jagged Pill. All I Really Want. I'm trying to see if I have like a root. Like, do you have any songs in your iTunes library that you're embarrassed that you have? Yes.
I've been told that John Mayer is not cool.
Who said that?
People that don't like John Mayer. When I listen to radio, our local here in LA, because people outside of LA will be listening to this podcast. What station is that? 98.7.
Which one are you trying to think of?
Star? Is it Star? What are they called here? Anyway, they recently stopped playing John Mayer, and they made a big deal out of it. We're not playing John Mayer ever again. And I wept.
Wow.
I wept slightly. Yeah, I was like, I like
what a John weird Mayer. Stance to make. Like, yeah. We're in the middle of a war, and we've got a black president coming in. And then, but you know what we stand strong on? No John Mayer.
Dun, 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 dun.
You'll never hear John Mayer on the Star 102.5.
Thank God. And my brother's in Iraq, so that was good.
Two horrible ways to end that little part there. My brother's in Iraq. That's my radio voice.
Together, alas. I don't feel like we explained the electric cooler. We should probably go back.
Okay, the electric hula, in my opinion, like, this is an outsider. Here's what we'll do. I'll give my outsider opinion.
Okay.
And then you give the choreographer, like, where you're the muse or what it came from.
To be fair, how can you be an... Oh, you're saying you're going to explain
I'm
it
the layman. I'm the layman who's saying, this is how, like, you start, you
That's
think
an
of
offensive
the hula.
Term. You don't want to use that term.
All right, layman. I'm the gay guy. So the idea is that you are doing the hula, right? And so here's the thing. The hula for me has been so influenced by your electric hula. I don't even think that this, what I'm doing now is, am I right? Is this the hula, right?
That's the regular hula, yeah.
Okay, so you do
more belly.
More belly, yeah. No belly in the electric hula.
No, actually, no.
Yeah.
It was before bellies were invented.
Yeah, that's true. Bellies and dance.
That's right.
So you do, it's like a stop. It's like popping and locking with the hula movement.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then you lean and put all your weight on the foot to the side. Your hula-ing on.
Right, yeah.
I'm That's, making up a lot of verbs, I feel like,
yeah,
in this.
But new verbs. I quiggled.
By the way, never play Scrabble with Kevin because he's very good.
Quiggled is a word.
So you lean on your right and you go, you know, you go two, only two, you go right. Two hula, and then you go to the left, hula, hula.
Right, right. That's good. So the musically be like, hula, 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 yeah. Hula.
Yes.
Right, right, left, left.
Yes.
Right, right,
yes.
Left, left.
Yes.
That's it. It's very difficult to explain without the emotion.
Dance is a visual art. So
you should have your wife explain.
That's how great we are at this audio medium. Is that we have chosen to describe a visual art form.
Well, I can see it. I mean, that's how. Well, I mean, I saw you do it, but yeah. That's how I saw it.
Maybe actually. We'll make a video or something and put it up on a website that we or I don't know. Maybe not. Let's
not.
Let's not get into what else we can. This is what you're gonna get
now,
right
here. Our voices.
This is it, okay? Maybe if I could figure out how to put a picture with this.
We could do it through binary because the... It translates. Now look down at your iPod screen.
Yeah,
and
see?
And you will see an image.
Look at that. An image of you turning it off is what's happening right now.
Folks, this is not the first podcast we've ever done. This is actually the 30th podcast.
Yes.
We just haven't published them.
We haven't published. This is all of the warm-up. We had all those rehearsals.
Yeah.
And now this is the one.
Two months of rehearsals.
So if you're hearing this, that means that we finished it and we decided, you know what? No, that one's good.
This is good.
You're listening to this and you hate it. Don't just unsubscribe.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I think maybe that's a bad way to come out of the box to tell people.
Yeah, you should hit subscribe. If you don't like it.
If you don't like it, send it to your friends at work that you don't like.
Right.
Maybe they like things that you don't like since you don't like them.
Or what? I don't.
Just
I'm going to need you to use audio words to describe that visually to me.
Okay. All right. So there's a guy. In a cubicle,
right.
Okay? Now, this guy in a cubicle...
I'm drinking tea.
Does it like... the good tea. My wife made that tea. This guy doesn't like another guy. Okay, so I'm using some math. I don't know if this is all visual terms that I'm using, but I'm using mathematical transitive property. I think that's what it is. By saying by or maybe it's associative. Whatever. Shut up. Whoever's going to email me and say they know what this is. But here's what it is.
I also like the assumption that people are going to listen and care enough to email.
Listen,
I think
as a good friend of mine, Darren Carter, often says, "If you believe it, you will achieve it." Well, I'm just saying, some of these comedians I work with on the road. He's been on BET, The Tonight Show. He's probably walking right now, listening to our podcast. He's going to be our third listener. I'm assuming you and I will listen.
I don't listen to many podcasts.
Well, this is a good one to start on, Kevin. I mean,
I don't know if I can listen to myself for an hour and a half, actually, Justin. I don't think that.
Well, there's also me. I'm in here.
I'll listen to you for an hour and a half.
I'll listen to you for an hour and a half. Maybe we'll make special recordings where we cut out each of our voices.
We're holding hands under the table.
So getting back to my associative property is that by theory, if I like something, okay, but I don't like you, this is all hypothetical.
You don't have
don't
to
cry.
Point so harsh. It's like he really meant it.
No, but I. So you.
You're pointing again.
If I. Okay, I'm gonna cross my arms. If you don't like,
you're pointing with your eyes.
If you don't like something, then I don't like you, then that would stand to reason that...
Again, you did it again, when I don't like you.
I don't know how to explain this. It was a horrible... I'm bailing on it. I'm bailing on this whole theory.
I'm not helping. But I think that would be the it of this conversation.
This is good times. I'm having fun.
This is good, yeah, already.
This is all we do. This is all Pretty we much. Do when we hang around and we make each other laugh, and then I thought, you know... Let's do this on a podcast, and maybe other people will laugh at us too, because we have friends who think we're funny. And
two or three, yeah.
Well,
and we, we're here, and we decided to do it in the most acoustically soundproof room
that's
possible.
That's true. He's talking about my dining room, right. Which is all drywall and a window to our right.
It's got these shades on it.
Yeah, these are acoustic shades. These are, see, like right now they're hearing different audio if I open the shades, but when like I close lions. Them, oh. it's like we're in a studio right now.
Brilliant. Yeah. And your wife and newborn baby. Baby or asleep.
Yeah, so you might, if you continue to listen, you might hear a baby crying in the background.
Or a hound dog.
Don't worry, we will not stop the show to attend to the baby. It'll keep going.
Yeah, it can't roll around yet, so how much trouble can it get into?
I like how I still call it it.
Wait, does it get a sex yet, or when does that get implanted in them? Isn't that an upgrade?
I'm pretty sure it happens as soon as he's conceived. I'm pretty sure that's when the DNA, it's not visual.
Oh, then I can't get it.
But they did show me an ultrasound of his little pecker. Can you say pecker and still you can not do it put explicit on this?
I don't know.
I don't know either. Well, if you're 13 and you just learned the word pecker, you can thank the JK show.
That is... please, don't call it that.
What? I like it.
I think a word like pecker is one you'd only use when you're in the eighth grade. I don't think I've actually said that word since watching Ghostbusters in 1983.
I wonder what that says that I say that word all the time.
Do you really?
It's my cool, because I don't like to curse a ton.
Right. I mean, you say it in your act.
Yeah. Say pecker. Well, maybe not. I don't say pecker. I don't think I have a good pecker joke. I'm not a very good comedian.
No, that's...
For those of you who don't know who are just happening upon this, I am a stand-up comedian by trade.
Oh.
You didn't know that, Kevin?
Been doing that?
Kevin is my best friend, and he didn't know. But 2 years, to answer your question. Oh. I think I'm supposed to say 5 years. We might have to go back.
Oh, man. The dinosaurs. The middle of the conversation. And that's why.
Already the honesty pours out. Yeah, I found out recently that I had my $50. But this is babbling. I made $50 to do a dive bar. You were there.
I was there
my first
in Corona.
Gig.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was good times. That was December of 2007.
Was it really? No. Yeah. No, that's incorrect.
You think
06.
So?
I know 06. It was.
Yes, you're right. You're right. It was 06. So if I'm not wrong on the math, and by being professional, I'm starting my third year, right?
You're in your third year now, yes.
Yeah, starting into my third year. All right, good to know.
Yeah.
Good to know.
I have a visual map to draw it. Very nice. Oh. I remember that dive bar. That was one of the creepiest evenings ever.
It was horrible.
We went down. If you've ever gone down to Corona, they have pay per... Sorry, I'm popping the mic.
pay per travel lanes, that they, and the rate changed. Remember, depending on what time you're traveling in the carpool lane, the rate can change.
Yes.
And you get down there, and we went down the darkest alley possible through a dirt road that was made of gravel and then into an old wooden shack that inside were middle-aged people that were drunk.
Let's not
out
forget
of their mind.
The gravel parking lot outside. Because here's the thing. Living in Los Angeles, I'm getting my first paid gig. They're like, oh, it's going to be a bar. I'm thinking, oh, it's big time. You know, I found about this online. I'm driving down, and as you get off this freeway, you see to your left like this beautiful brand-new mall that was like Coach Stores and Victoria's Secret. I don't know if that means – because to me, these are high-class places. I don't know what they really are.
It wasn't a Frederick's. It was a Victoria's Secret.
I mean, they don't have any of that slutty good stuff. But – so then my GPS, as if to, I was like, wow, this is going to be a nice bar, some nice crowd. Like, and my GPS, is like, as if it had perfect comedic timing, goes, turn right. And I'm like, oh, no. And I turn to the right, and you go down that dark road that you're talking about. And I remember seeing, like, it was out of a movie, a silhouette. I'm not kidding. A silhouette in the full moonlight, a silhouette of a trailer park off to my
left.
That's
right.
And I look to the right, and there's this big sign, Sportsman's Bar, Sportsman's Bar, Sportsman's Bar.
And you could hear faintly in the distance.
That was I freaked out before that gig because I had 15 minutes maybe of decent material. They wanted me to do 30, so I wrote for the week and a half before I found out I was going to do it like crazy. Came up with 27 minutes without laughing, in between.
Without laughing. No one laughed.
No one laughed when I said it by myself.
It was essentially a book report.
Yeah. You've seen it. You've seen that.
Well, I was there.
And when I got there, I had it all in like 3x5 cards in my pocket just in case.
Fist full of 3x5 cards.
And
blue, as I recall.
And they so then they started, as soon as I got there, they had a table that said reserved. There was like four cocktail tables in the corner where they did karaoke, and one of them said reserved on it. And I asked the person that we were there to contact or whatever, our contact. Why is that so hard for me to say?
Contact?
That? Yes, that's what I'm thinking of. Yeah. I said it four times.
Contact. Contact. Contact.
That's
contact.
It with Judy Foster.
Gorillas in the Mist.
Good movie. Good movie. Wouldn't that be horrible if we jumped into talking about contact, right? But anyway, so
I like the part about the aliens.
Oh, what's that? I like when it spun around. Contact was a movie that had a lot of hype to it that I don't think had a payoff. Much like this gig at the Sportsman's Bar. See how I brought it back?
Well done.
I brought it back?
Well done.
All right, we're going to drink some tea to that. Good tea. Tea brought to you by
orange,
the JK Show.
Spicy.
All right.
Don't call it that.
So we go. I go to this side. I go, oh, it's who's reserved tables? Because I knew you guys were coming. A couple other friends were coming. And then they go, oh, that's one of our regulars. He likes to come and sit up front and heckle the comedians. And I was like, and my rookie self reacted to it. She was like, oh, don't worry about it. Everybody just bags on him, and then he loves it. And so it's like I started freaking out because I'm not somebody who makes fun of people like that. Naturally, I don't. Maybe I'm wrong.
Oh, you're so in the front row. Look at you.
But here's the thing, too. Is like I do have that like jerk side to me that happens in my head. But I also have this part of like I get it from my mom. Who's like really nice. So I feel like after I call this guy a jerk and like head back on him, then I'm like, I feel bad. He lives in Corona.
That's why you feel bad for him.
Even my guilt is in a jerkish way.
He's
here at a bar in the middle of nowhere. Like, and if I remember too, like all of the people there to see the show were also employees. I don't know how this place made money other than...
Were they?
Yeah.
Oh.
I never told you. Yeah, they were all employees. Like one of the waitresses came in and hugged one of the other girls. And she goes, I got to work tonight. And then she, you know, put on her apron and sat down in the middle of the quote-unquote crowd of eight people that were there. Right.
Well, the part I remember is when they said, okay, the show's about to start. Go get your snacks and sit down. Yeah. As if the comedians were the babysitters for the next hour and a half.
Which I commented on in my act. I was I'm not here to be a comedian. I'm here to be a glorified birthday clown to entertain you drunks.
Blink.
To keep you here to drink.
And that guy was drinking those mini kegs?
Mini kegs. He had three of them during the course of the show.
I can only take two. That's impressive. I'm just kidding. I can take three.
I'm just kidding, ladies. Just so you know.
I drink a lot of beer.
I really hope this sounds the way it sounds in my ears right now because I feel really sexy.
Is it going to sound exactly like what we hear
Well, we're listening to the recording through the device, so yeah.
This is high quality.
I like
this. This is an A-plus
podcast. It should be. We have a lot of cables running all over my dining room table.
That's right.
This is what we do at the JK Show.
Don't call it that. Well, tell them the punchline to the Corona evening.
At the end of there was this girl who I found out later was a waitress there. and another girl with her who I think had the very common disease of Bell's palsy because half her face was like numb and sunken or whatever.
Really?
Yeah, because she couldn't talk. Like she and she was drunk, so she was like, I'm not used to being ignored. I think this is the punchline you're talking about.
No,
so,
but it's a better one.
After the show's over, I go around because this girl, I basically, I bagged on her the whole show. Like I told her I was going to rape her in the parking lot and make a woman out of her.
This is not the punchline I thought it was.
All right, well, I'll tell this one.
Okay, I'll tell my version.
So I did all this stuff, and that's all the riffing I did for my 30 minutes or whatever. And then afterwards, I went up to shake her hand and like, hey, thanks for being a good sport. And she was like, hey, will you be my friend on MySpace? And I looked at this drunk lady who had to be in her late 30s and her Bell's palsy friend who said, while she's saying this, is like, I used to be in Ignore. And she goes, will you free my friend on MySpace? And I look at them both and I go, yes, I will. And I gave them these cards that I had that had my MySpace address thing or whatever written on it. And she goes, put it in my boobies.
Oh.
And she pulls her shirt down. Now, only because here's the thing. For those of you, like, there might be guys out there who are listening going, why is he groaning when he says, put it in my boobies? If you saw the girls.
Please stop saying that.
Put it in my boobies. I wish we could have drops. That would be a fun drop. Put it in my boobies. I'll just say it. Why do I need a drop?
You just say whenever you say it. Oh, that's radio talk there.
Put it in my boobies.
So, I don't think you could do it without making.
So I'm trying to put this business card in her boobs because she pulls her shirt down.
You actually did this?
Yeah. Man. Where were you?
I think I was cowering in the back.
Did you take a rape shower after? Yeah.
Oh gosh, no one will know.
Witness, corona. Another good Judy Foster movie.
That should be the name of this podcast.
Witness?
Judy Foster.
Or Jody Foster. What'd I say?
I think you said Judy.
I meant to say Jody, but we could call it Judy Foster.
You know, this or is JK. Incredible. That's a Jody Foster movie.
Oh.
See how I did that?
This is Incredible?
Incredibles. No?
Oh, The Incredibles. She was. That's an animated movie, so we don't really see her. It's just kind of her voice acting.
I'd throw this pile of dimes right at you.
Okay, careful what I'm drinking. I have the mixer right in front of me. So if I spit tea, boom, podcast down.
That was your second mistake.
So anyway, I put my card in her boobs. trying not to touch
so
it.
So accommodating.
And I am, especially for the ladies.
But mind you were married and had been for years this time. Well, your wife was at that show.
We had our good friend Donna, who was there.
She
lives out in Buffalo now. I'm sure she'll be a listener.
She
finds out about it.
Hi, Donna.
We miss you. Love you. Hope you are warm in Buffalo, New York. But anyway, she was there, and she was talking to Natalie, my wife, who was sitting right behind me, like 2 feet away, while I'm putting my card in this woman's boobies, and
calling them that.
Why is it? What just chesticles?
Move on.
So she goes, "What is Justin doing?" And my wife turns around and sees me placing my card in her boobies. And so she goes, oh, he's just flirting. Don't worry about that.
Nice.
Yes. That's why I love my wife. Because we have an open relationship, ladies.
Not that kind of open relationship.
MySpace.com/Justin.
No.
I think that's the only place I have pictures of.
Of her?
What else you want to talk about?
What I was going to say.
What was your punchline? Yeah,
my punchline. It was in the act itself, which was so brilliant that you'd spent 40 hours writing those cue cards for yourself with material. You actually, in a fit of rage, took them out. And I think you tore them up or threw them in the air.
Yes, anyway, I threw them, yeah.
You threw them out. And so it was no holds bar, all improvised from there on out. It became just an interview with the audience. And somebody's cell phone rang, and they wanted you to take the phone call. And you took the phone call. And the guy immediately hung up, but then you improvised a conversation with the man.
Oh,
that
yes, now I remember.
For the rest of my life.
I was talking about how I was going to, that was the girl I was going to rape. And
don't remember you saying the word.
I did. I don't think I said the word rape. I said, I'm going to take you out in that gravel parking lot and ruin you. To me,
that could mean anything.
Oh.
It could be like you're going to take her stock portfolio. You're going to wallow up in some ancient Aztec ruins.
Okay, all right.
This is what I thought.
Thank you for giving me the benefit of the doubt.
I meant
give it to her in a way she didn't want it to be taken.
It's not a G-rated show.
It is. Would have it cursed.
Okay.
That's what I think in comedy. That's all that means clean. But so this girl, she goes, oh, somebody's calling. I think his name was Tim or Tom. I think it was a T or something like that.
It was Tim.
Yeah, because I call him and I basically call that guy and I go, hey, what's up? He's like, who the hell is this? Like, and I'll clean up.
Cursed. PG-13.
Hell, really?
Yeah. Oh, SpongeBob's never said it.
Oh, good thing Carlin's dead. He would go have a heyday with hell. What? Carlin? George Carlin?
Oh, right.
Never heard of him?
Is he on Coldplay? Oh, okay. Got it.
So he's like, who the hell are you? And I'm like, hey, I'm here hanging out. I can't remember what their names were, but we'll say Judy and Foster. And I'm hanging out with Judy and Foster. What's going on? And he basically told me to go F myself and then hung up.
Right.
And then what I pretended that I was still on the phone with him. And I said, hey, I go, glad you called, actually, because funny thing, I got tested and I think you should get tested too. And I go, sorry, it took me so long to get to you. It's just that you were in the tease. And I think that's why.
That's the punchline. And I realized it when I asked you to bring it up again. It's not that funny.
Pretty much. That's all right.
But at the time.
That's all right. Maybe there's somebody here who can relate to it. Maybe there's somebody who contracted an STD from a friend and they didn't find out until after their friend Matt because their name is Tim.
Oh, wow. That could be it.
All my comedy is based in reality, Kevin. I I keep it real as the black people.
Just so you know, Justin is not black.
But I play them on video games.
That's true. A lot of black voices.
For any of you who, going back to video games, if anybody has ever played Crazy Taxi 3 and picked up any African, I don't know what they prefer to be called now that they're going to be president.
Wow. I'm offended. You're not normally this offensive, our covers. Are they normally this offensive?
I think so. I think that I usually, either one of us is. Like, one of us usually will be the wow person.
Really?
At some time, like it's fun for you, like when you start cursing and stuff like that, because you're
never.
Very never
never happened.
I don't know.
Maybe once.
But anyway, what was I talking about? Black people.
Black people.
Yeah. Oh, the Crazy Taxi 3. I'm all the black passengers, African American passengers.
That's right. You are, and we're both in that game.
You're one of the main guys, though. Yeah, you're the blonde guy.
He looks like one of the Red Hot Chili Peppers. He's right on the cover. But that's Crazy Taxi 3. That was back in 2003.
Yeah, but somebody might be classic. Maybe somebody's poor. Maybe they don't have a...
It was on the Dreamcast.
They like to live it. Maybe there are Amish video gamers out there.
See, when I say words like Dreamcast, I have to recognize them. The average person doesn't know what that means.
Yeah,
or doesn't remember anymore.
Especially.
Yeah.
I'll never forget. This was like 10 years ago. Remember Robert, when we were at Comedy Sports, Sarah Lougheed's son?
I do,
he was like 10 or 12 or whatever. I remember when I asked him, I made some kind of He-Man reference, and he's like, who's He-Man?
What's a He-Man?
And I was like, wow, this is the first day of me getting old.
Oh, nice.
When this 10-year-old has no idea who He-Man is.
I'm surprised there isn't a live-action movie of He-Man yet. I mean, Transformers is
there was one with Dolph Lundgren. You ever saw it?
Recently.
Oh, new.
Yeah, like a new one. Like a resurgence.
Like with Casper Van Buren or whatever?
Well, how do kids watch Robot Chicken and get any of the jokes then? Because it's all toys and stuff from our generation.
Well, that's Adult Swim, so I think it's supposed to be adults.
Yeah, but the whole point of Adult Swim, like games like Grand Theft Auto or any of those, is for junior high-age kids to pick them up and... I'm talking about the politics of video games.
I know.
Sorry.
Then we got real serious.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Just so you know, listen, we don't have an expectation. Some of these stories may be funny. Some of you might have already turned it off, in which case I don't have to even be referencing you. But I'm just saying we're going to talk about what you and I want to talk about.
That was very existential.
What do you mean?
Well, how would they know if you've turned it off? You're like, you're talking to them, but they're not there.
If they're not listening, those people can go themselves, you know what I mean?
Did you hear that?
My phone got an email. I don't know if we heard it, but my phone got an email, so it went. They can go themselves.
That was pretty.
I wish I could drop that in if I could find. We'll find a way to record it.
Speaking of dropping in, another thing I want to mention earlier about the swivel search.
Yes.
Are you aware of the chart?
the chart. I'm putting air quotes around the microphone.
Chart?
The chart. Chart. C-A-R-T.
C-H-A-R-T. Yeah. No.
It's something they use in Christian circles, in our Christian, my Christian circles, for bands. So if you're into one type of secular band, they have a chart that's like, well, you probably will like this band.
Are you serious?
Yeah. So if you like Metallica, you'll like...
Is this on the web or something?
Oh, I'm sure you could probably find it.
Oh, let's look that up. That sounds like fun. Because what I want to... The first thing I want to do is figure out who this chart is going to recommend for Black Sabbath.
But there is one.
There is one. Oh, sure. What's the website?
I don't know. I just know the chart exists. I also may have made the chart up. I don't know.
Christian music chart. That's music what I'm going to call it. We're going to go one shot. No, I just did Christian music. This is awesome. People listening to us search the web.
Well, I'll tell the reason why I know this. I have a buddy named Matt Wilson, goes to my church at Ecclesia at churchinhollywood.com. And he wrote a script about a Christian band that got roped into doing, or they got tricked in, or they're a non-Christian band. They got roped into being a Christian band. And you found the chart here online.
Yeah, what's the website way to go, there? Google. Let's see. Let's go.
What is the website there?
It's ministryandmedia.com.
Got to go check that out.
Yeah. That's going to be something extra for the ladies. Christian E music. This is Christian with a E. Y.
Like it's Christian E?
It's Christian-ish.
Yeah.
I would have gone Christian-ish. It's easier to say. Let's see.
Some rap. Find something that's like Eminem.
How do I do this?
Oh, it's just by style. Oh, yeah. Okay. So it's not...
I think it's just a list. Maybe it's not... Yeah, because that's what it says. It says lyrics.
What if you're into Switchfoot? What Christian band do they...
I don't even know who Switchfoot is.
They're a Christian band.
They are? Okay,
yeah, they're pretty big and mainstream. You can probably...
Why don't they have one like the other way around? I mean, we're a Judeo-Christian society. What if I wanted to go secular?
I'm done with this Christian stuff.
Yeah, I want to find some real music.
Some real music. I'll have you know I have some very talented Christian artist friends. Mister.
Will they be listening to this podcast?
Probably not.
Okay. So, speaking of which, Kevin and I used to work at Great America.
Which is no longer Paramount.
No longer. That's right. Cedar Point or something like that?
Cedar Fair. Which is the Cedar Point theme park, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So I was right but wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. So, it'd be like calling it Kleenex.
Tissues. Taco salad.
That's another inside joke I'll explain after this. But for some reason this made me think of when we worked at Great America.
Which is where the electric hula was born.
It's true. Yeah. As Pong, right?
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And anyway, we had two Christian concerts every year.
That's right.
And every year, this used to annoy me. Like I am
having
not
a Christian concerts.
No, no.
Why do they have to
with
be
their ethics bringing them to the park? Oh gosh,
their ethics.
But
it's speak English.
it's the constant comment that I had to hear from all the other employees there that this was the highest crime rate in the park days.
I had a theory for that, and I don't think it's true anymore.
Yeah.
Well, my theory was because the Christian people would bring in their non-Christian friends.
Exactly. Yes, they would. It's like a way of saying, "Hold on, my wife is bringing me my phone closer." This is for those of you who do know my comedy. This is exactly why I am able to make a living. My wife brings me my phone closer to the microphones so that if it makes a noise, don't you stand there and put your hips on your hips.
Yeah, man,
This is a clean podcast. That is the mother of my children. I am sorry. I apologize. Well,
at least come and say hello.
Come and say hi, dear.
Yeah, come and say hi. Come and explain why. No, it's okay.
Yeah, just
come
say why you did this. We'll have an episode where Natalie will be a guest, definitely.
You have to talk into the mic.
Okay, explain why I did what I did just now.
Yes.
Because it was chiming, and I don't know how to turn the sound off, so I figured I would discreetly walk over and lay it gently on the table without making any noise at all so that you yourself can go ahead and turn the sound off so it doesn't disturb the podcast.
Oh, you know what,
dear? See, I'm brilliant.
You were right, and I am wrong. Yeah, I'm wrong. It was absolutely a smart idea to take the chiming phone and discreetly put it next to me while it's chiming while I'm trying to record something.
It wasn't chiming while I brought it over.
But it eventually will chime. Earlier. I'm a very busy man. And
just so you guys know, this is funny. It sounds like they're going to start hitting, but it's funny. Go ahead.
That's why I brought it over here while it wasn't chiming, so you could make the chimes not happen.
Oh, okay. Okay, that was a good call. That was a good call. You should probably go now.
Bye, everybody.
Thanks, Nana.
I love you very much. Wow.
That's going to make the highlights real.
I hope so.
She also knocked over my stack of nickels here.
Well, she's a home wrecker, is what she is.
Aww. I live in a house of nickels? I have more self-respect. So what's with the chiming phone there?
Darren Carter wants me to call him very, very bad.
Why don't you give him
a call? I'm going to tell him.
We can pause this thing.
I'm going to say I am recording a podcast right now. Darren Carter, I'm sure, will be a guest on our podcast at some point.
I was thinking Justin and Summer should be
yes. Before we have good friends. This is kind of the idea of what we wanted to do is this first episode, although we're now like a half hour in. I don't think we've told any stories. Well, I guess,
been telling some stories.
Backstories of who we are and stuff. But this first episode was a chance for you to get to know the key players behind the JK show.
Stop calling it that.
So that you could know them, and then we bring in our friends. I don't know any celebrity friends, in fact.
No, we know a few.
Oh, yeah, you do, huh?
Yeah, well, I'm pretty popular.
Yeah, you're very popular.
Well, you know Nick Thune.
I know of Nick Thune.
I thought you've interacted with him.
I've interacted with him.
All right, so no promises, but we're going to try to get Nick Thune.
Nick Thune, if you're a fan of Nick Thune and his comedy. But I don't know if these guys, because I do stand-up, and Kevin is an improviser, now working and a writer, working at the church where you know Nick Thune, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep, Nick Thune.
And
he just came back from Kenya.
Really?
Yeah, about a couple months
ago.
As a missionary.
Wow.
Yeah, we sent 14 folks over there. He was one of him and his wife.
Wow.
Can I say that he has a wife?
I don't know.
His career.
Good chance he won't be a guest. Because why would it ruin his career? Well, I guess he does play the college crush. Sorry, ladies in the college. Well, trust me, there are not going to be any college chicks listening to this. We barely had a chance. Like
We were not cool in college.
No.
Remember when we were bring so sexy and awesome.
I would venture to guess, and I don't. Listen, it is no secret that I am gay for Kevin.
you mean retarded.
You're right. I'm sorry. I mixed up my words. And that I think that you are as dead sexy.
Wow.
And I mean this seriously.
I really wish you'd stop making eye contact.
I'm not going to let go. I'm locking in on my prey.
Oh, my goodness.
And I'm moving in for the kill.
Natalie!
He's doing it again. As dead sexy as you were when we were both younger. I think you're even more sexy.
Oh, yeah. Well done. Really?
I think with the beard. Oh, hell yeah. Seriously.
Really?
Yeah, lost a bunch of weight too. Who am I to say you should lose weight? I mean, I'm pushing 205 right now.
Yeah, but you just stopped eating sugar. That's 10. All I did. But I didn't have a ton of weight when we were in college.
No, you were always the guy like that. That was dead sexy, and I don't know if this is embarrassing, but the sorority chicks when we played comedy sports in San Jose loved Kevin.
That's true.
Yeah.
That is true.
Our good friend Jeremy Carso, who they just had their kid, Jevin, named after Kevin and I. Maybe we should name that the show, Jevin. Show.
That's not a bad idea.
We could return the favor because I don't think we can name a kid after Jeremy and Megan. That's Tregan? Jurgen?
Jurgen? Jeemin? I don't think I have that right.
Yeah.
Marry me? Oh, I do like marry me.
Marry me. That just sounds like a deaf person asking to be married. Marry me.
Marry me. So offensive.
Yeah, I know, but it was
I took
deaf people listening
college.
To a podcast, seriously. At some point, we have to draw the line.
Ow, it hurts my brain.
Somebody has to be offended. I hope to God, though, that they haven't figured out a way to put in 8-inch plugs into those earphones or what are hearing aids? That's
hearing
what they're
aids.
Called.
What are hearing aids? They're hearing aids. That seriously opened my brain. Yeah, how do deaf people listen to podcasts?
They don't, Kevin.
They must transcribe them. Somebody is transcribing this right now for people
way.
To listen
no
to.
No way. We don't got that kind of budget.
No, someone else is doing it. Like a Wiki fan.
Really?
Yeah, you ever gone to Wiki sites and they have like actual transcriptions of video games or Homestar Runner?
No.
You never been to the Homestar Runner Wiki?
No.
Have you been to the homestarrunner.com?
Where do you find all this stuff?
I don't know. Maybe I'm a nerd. this is what I'm discovering. When people talk to me like that, I think this stuff is common knowledge.
No. But,
see, and this is the problem I had when we were younger. And to be fair, we worked as Star Trek aliens.
Yes.
Paramount's
we were. America. Listen, I am not trying to say that any one of us is more dorkier than the other one.
Right.
Like,
but here's the deal. You're a married man with a child, and I may be dead sexy with a beard, but it sounds, from the description we're creating right here, I think I'm kind of nerdy.
No, you see, here's the thing. Yeah, I got lucky. My wife, that's as you true. Heard earlier, is very retarded.
And that's actually her laughing.
She thinks I'm, that's what I'm saying. She thinks I'm funny when I call her retarded. These women are hard to find. As we learned earlier while we were making dinner, we were making tacos earlier. We learned that Kevin said it must be hard to find a woman who puts up with, like, basically the verbal abuse that I give Natalie.
I was warning your newborn son that he was not going to find a woman that would accept the amount of abuse that his mother does.
And I said, well, you'd be surprised. There's a lot of them out there. But it does take a special lady to be called. I don't even know why I'm bagging on my... Oh, that's why. Because my wife was retarded and fell for, like, thinking... She thinks that I am, A, attractive. She's seen this naked. She might...
Sorry, that was completely...
No, it's okay. This is about honesty.
It's about the... Okay.
I want the JK show, Mare Me, Jevin, whatever the hell we call it.
It's still about
the
time when you drank some of the breast milk and it nearly made me throw up.
Yeah.
That's pretty much the whole story, but...
I think, exactly. Well, not much to say. My sister-in-law, she had the same reaction.
Really?
Yeah, as soon as I was testing the milk, because we have the bottle Natalie pumps, and I was testing the milk to make sure it was warm enough, and you can also tell it when it's gone bad. Like, it has a stale kind of cardboardy taste to it.
You taste it?
Yeah. Have not taken it from the source, though.
Okay.
I know there are a lot of people out there on pins and needles.
For the longest time, I thought that was funny and kind of cute, and then when I actually saw you put that rubber nipple to your mouth, I almost threw up on
really?
The couch.
Yeah,
really?
It was and a lot of people say that it doesn't taste good. I'm here to tell you, it tastes great.
I don't think I can drink this tea now.
It's some of it in there.
That's not fair.
See, people, we are funny people. We are
I don't think it counts if you have to keep telling them.
Why?
Please like us.
Listen, let me tell you something that I have learned about the middle America out there that might be listening to this. You got to tell them what they think.
You guys are... I don't
gay.
Know.
The, there and it is. By gay, we mean retarded.
There, don't be offensive. Go back to talking about how you look naked.
Okay, so she's seen me naked, and she likes it. She's like, she gets turned on by me. Like, and it's...
Is this true? She's asleep again.
Yeah. Well, no, it's true. She's over there playing with my beautiful son, Jacob Michael Worsham, who we'll talk many times about him. Maybe in a couple of years, if we're still doing this thing, then we can have him on.
By then, it'll be brain casts.
I'm going to try. Here's what I am going to try to do, because I like this. I like that. I listen to the Conway podcast because I don't really listen to it on the radio. And then Adam Carolla, I'm a big fan of his radio show too. I like that he had, when his twins, they're much older now, but when they were little, like in the cooing stage, like Jacob is, they had recordings of them, and I think those are adorable.
That is adorable, yeah.
If anything, I'm going to put it up. A lot of this is going to be done because this is what we like.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll listen to it.
Oh, I want to tell this story.
Okay.
This is one of the stories that I did have prepared. None of this was really prepared. Kevin was asking, he's like, well, should we have anything planned to talk about?
I wanted lists.
Yeah. I was like, I don't think we need it. And this is proof in the pudding. We're going 45 minutes.
Yes.
And nothing.
How long did you want to go?
I would say an hour, hour and a half. Why not? You know,
yeah,
I mean,
right.
I guess you're not supposed to talk about the time. I am an avid podcast listener. Quick plugs, some good podcasts there for people. This one's a paying podcast, but it's one of my favorite podcasts. It's Never Not Funny. Definitely check that one out. They have a free 20-minute segment you can get on iTunes as like a sample, but that's with comedian Jimmy Pardo and one of the guys that does comedy shows at the UCB Theater here in L.A., Matt Belknap, and then they have comedic guests and stuff, much like maybe we're robbing them. Who cares, though? They make good money, though. They make good money doing that.
But it took them years. You say it was not... Okay, well, it took
them a year. And I don't know how, like, because I didn't find out about it until I found it on the iTunes page or whatever, but I don't know how big a name Jimmy Pardo is beforehand. But they charge it's $20 for 6 month season and think of it, they have like 10,000 listeners, so they're doing well, and it's a good show. I mean it's well worth the coin.
I actually publish a weekly podcast as
you
well.
You do?
Yeah, it's hilarious. It's churchinhollywood.com.
So yes.
We publish the sermons.
So funny. So
the
fun.
Very, very hilarious stylings of Brandon Dickerson, pastors Danica Childs.
David Seymour and DePaul Thomas and Joseph Barkley. Hilarious, hilarious people. Some of the funny, they actually are. They do it.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, I went to the Easter service, and right. It's a great service. I mean, I think it's easy in the world that we live in to make fun of, you know, like Christian and church. And we're like, oh, it's very fun.
We do.
But so. Yeah, exactly. Like, but it's a great service. A fantastic. Well, I don't know what this is how heathenistic I am. I don't even know is a preacher? Is that what you?
We call them pastors.
Pastors, got it. Now, what's the difference between a preacher and a pastor?
Preacher, typically, Natalie's laughing in the other room. Preacher. Oh, she knows the difference.
Natalie knows the difference between a preacher and a pastor, and she called me retarded. Listen, woman, why don't you take your socks and shoes off and get in the kitchen and whip daddy up something, okay?
I will take some sherbet ice cream. sans the utter pop. I got to say it.
Oh, no, that was right. I forgot.
All right. Preacher is Catholic, uh-huh. And a pastor is typically Protestant.
Or got it.
Not Catholic.
Or not. Protestant or not Catholic.
But talking about Christian things that are hilarious, I would go to beyondrelevance.com, and uh-huh. They have a YouTube video, which you should watch later, called What If Starbucks Advertised Like a Church? A parable. So it's all the things that churches kind of do wrong with how they present themselves and treat their customers, but it's a coffee shop. Some very, very funny stuff.
Oh, that would be awesome.
And in point.
Is this connected, or you just know this through your friends? Like, it's not connected to the church on Hollywood?
No, not to our church. I believe it's connected to another church. Somewhere probably locally. I could be wrong. Yeah. But it's very funny. You'd like it.
Okay.
I think.
Yeah. Beyond, what was it again?
BeyondRelevance.com.
BeyondRelevance.
Ever gone to a church?
I would have to know how to. I'll check with my smart wife for relevance. How to spell relevance.
Or preacher.
if I
pastor
had
has an O in it.
What was I going to say? For people, though, that I like assuming that we always have a ton of listeners. That's always going to be my assumption.
Here's the thing. There will be one.
Yeah.
And then there will be millions.
Yeah. Because that's all. That one person
will tell a million people.
Everybody. Unless they're deaf or gay or black, then they're going to hate us.
I hate us. I'm going to have to go home.
You have to,
you have to
stop having that reaction because it just makes me want to do it more. But I think it's a great church. Churchonhollywood.com is their website, right?
Church in Hollywood.
Church in Hollywood.
But we are on Hollywood Boulevard.
The original movie theater made for talkies by Warner Brothers, right?
Sam Warner had a brain hemorrhage in the building and died there.
Whoa.
That's what we tell the tourists.
And now you talk about Jesus.
Exactly.
What Sam would have wanted, you know? It's what he would have wanted when he's making all them horror flicks.
I think the Warners made a lot of horror flicks.
Didn't they? I thought they were the studio.
No, Universal.
Kevin and I both took a film appreciation. Scott Sublett, strong chance he's going to be a listener.
He actually might be a listener.
He does not like it when I call him Mr. Sublett, by the way. I saw an email from 3 years ago. I was cleaning out my email box, and I said, hello, Mr. Sublett. And he's like, Mr. Sublett, and he had a joke because he's funny.
He's a funny guy. Well, he doesn't like, especially for past students, he doesn't like to be referred to as Mr. Sublett. He wants to be on par with you. He talks about how it's important to build a relationship outside of the school boundaries. I have to talk into the microphone.
I think you're doing. I can hear you okay.
How about now?
No, that's now you're,
this is the side
you're talking
the
into the shaft, and I wish I had a better word for that.
PG-13.
This is the story I wanted to tell. I'm not distracted, but this is my favorite Kevin Miller story to tell. You probably know already what I'm talking about.
This is
when my wife, my good dear wife, who, bless her heart, is retarded. And she was on a cruise ship. Right after I proposed to her, she went away on a cruise ship.
This is the time when we were living in a reality thicker than the OC or Beverly Hills 90210, because it was six people, three sets of couples.
Yes.
And it was you and mm-hmm. Natalie. Mm-hmm. The drama there was that Natalie was on a cruise ship.
Yep.
So they were engaged. You guys were engaged at the time. So that's a real good storyline.
I like it.
That, you know, they wanted to be together. They couldn't. It was ruining your life, and you were smoking and drinking all the time to sleep.
Heroin.
And then I was dating Danielle, and I was a Christian, and she was Jewish. So that was a huge conflict right there.
That was great.
Them. Yeah, that was a good storyline. And then our buddy Jeremy was dating Ricky.
Yes.
Jeremy's white, Ricky is black.
Yes.
So, and they're both men. So
yes.
It had more, truth is stranger than fiction. I felt it had more, if I saw that as a program, I wouldn't have believed it. I mean, like, this is the most unreal.
And we used to joke about, like, bringing in characters third season, like, any other friends that were ancillary to us or whatever. It was a good time. We'll get into the college. I like that when we were in college, we with Jeremy's former roommate Sarah, We had a lunchbox club where we all bought lunchboxes. With,
Max Power lunchboxes.
Because I think we all had the same lunchbox that we had to write our name or something like that. And then we would take turns. Like, I would take the lunches, and then I would make lunches for that. Was it day
it was
or
day.
Week?
It was 4 days. Monday,
4 days,
Thursday,
and it was four of us, And we'd sit out there in the grass and eat our lunches. And it was that was one of the things I was thinking about that probably made us not cool.
I think by the time you get to college, the point is to not be cool. Like, the weirder thing you can do in college, the cooler you are. Because we were weird.
Speaking of college, Teresa Lubley, we have to get her.
Yeah,
whatever.
You're telling some story.
Oh, yeah. So we go up to Tahoe. Danielle, was her grandparents that had a cabin up in North Tahoe?
Yeah.
So we're going up to North Tahoe for, I think it was somebody's birthday, or maybe it was just to get away or something.
I think it was because we were on winter break. Yeah,
from school.
Just after Christmas.
Natalie was on the cruise ship, so everybody's like, well, come with us. It'll be fun and everything. And I don't really like to gamble, but I went up there. And I remember we just get to the cabin. Now, Jeremy and Kevin are big fans of gambling. Like, they were very excited about going to gamble. So Kevin was sitting in the kitchen, and he's like, oh, we're going to go. Oh, yeah, I'm so excited. I was like, all right. He goes, practice with me. Practice. Deal me a card. And so I go, what am I dealing you? It was blackjack. Now, I have to say this because every time I tell the story, nobody thinks it's funny. I think it's hilarious. I think it's flipping hilarious. That there's no cards. We're dealing strictly in pantomime. Like, nothing.
It'll be a lot like this. They don't see cards.
They don't see it, right?
Maybe they'll think it's hilarious.
And so in your theater of the mind, imagine me dealing fake cards. Imaginary cards that are just... Every time I move my hand, he's doing sound.
That's the cards.
All right, so I deal one to Kevin, one to myself, another one to Kevin that I turn over, just like in blackjack, and then I turn mine over. Kevin pretends to look at his card, right? He looks at it, and then he goes, hit me. So I deal him another card, and he goes, damn. Oh, man, this probably happened 10 years ago,
No, we haven't known each other that long.
Yes, we have.
No. Our
1997.
The events you're describing were like 2000.
2000, yeah, all right. Yeah. So
the winter of 2000.
Eight years ago.
Yeah.
Because I think it was around Christmas time, too.
It was, because it was winter break.
Yeah, and I've been telling people that story because it makes me laugh every time. I can't go to a blackjack table without laughing my butt off at this, like...
Hit me.
Because it was fake. It was fake cards, and he was practicing losing. That's what he was excited about. Or maybe some of you, because this is why I explain this, because even the people who don't think it's funny, when I explain it to them, they still don't think, well, yeah, why would he practice losing? I don't get it. Right? But then, like, it was so funny.
How come when you tell stories of something funny I did, it's funny, but when I tell stories of things that you did that were funny, it's not funny?
What do you mean?
Well, I told the story about your... Or did I tell it? Let's roll the thing back. I thought that moment in history was one of the funniest moments in comedy.
Let's try and think of another funny story that you have about me.
Okay.
There was... You know, you'd think you'd have something...
Oh, I do have one. Oh,
okay, good. Although that would have been a very funny bit. That's what I was hoping for. Isn't
it? I tried to keep him away. I was going to tell a story about somebody else, but they're not here. No, it was when we were Star Trek aliens, and you decided for a full day to accept anything.
Stupid.
See, if you're unfamiliar with the concept of improvisational theater, it's based on the idea of yes and, where you agree to everything that is being said. And this concept works really well for being on stage. It's not really a principle you're supposed to apply to life, unless you're Jim Carrey in the upcoming movie Yes Man.
See? Come on. I was way before my time. I came up with this way before. I mean, think about it. Even if it took 3 years for this guy to write this script, pitch, and get it sold to studios, this was 10 years ago.
I guarantee that idea was as good an idea as that movie is going to be good.
And for that, folks at home, he means bad.
Kevin. Oh, that's what I meant. Okay. So he decided for the entire day he was going to accept everything that was said to him. Now, this is dangerous because we were dealing a lot with, like, reality problems, I think, in general.
Yes.
Mainly because we were grown men playing make-believe all day, dressed up as Star Trek aliens and talking to guests in the park. I remember it escalating to a point where there was a girl sitting on the edge of a fence, and I leaned at Justin and said, go push her down.
Well, Fred kept daring me to go, like, slap people in the butt, like girls in the butt, and he used to have this bit that he would do.
Bit means joke.
Yeah, thanks. He used to have this joke that he would do. As I'm saying this, Fred's knee just came up on my computer screen. But he used to have this joke. Remember the shirts? I think they're still popular where you tie them up behind their neck or whatever, the shirts that come up the front.
Yeah.
And then they tie like kind of like a tank top, but it's kind of strapless in the back.
Popular anymore. They should
but,
be.
But they shouldn't be.
They should be.
They should be. Yes, cute. Bring those back. Yes. Those in tube tops.
I'm going to wear one.
Body suits? Oh,
oh yeah.
Body suits are nice.
And capris.
I don't know if somebody else saw it, but I was working on a joke in my act because I remember in high school liking the body suits because there was only one way to take it off, and that's from down at the business end of the ladies. You know what I'm saying?
Hello. I don't understand what you said.
And so you would unsnap that, and they would just like raise like a curtain to start a show.
Didn't want the explanation. But
oh, okay. Boobies.
Somehow not as bad when you're not talking about 60-year-old Meryl Palsy Corona women.
Whoa. So,
not that there's anything wrong with Corona. There are very nice people in Corona.
Love those people.
Shannon Stone lives in Corona.
Love her. She's probably the only good part, I'll be honest, about the city of Corona.
One piece.
That's it. Everybody else can go to hell. I'll be honest. Got to be controversial.
Pretty much there, yeah. That's right. We're controversial.
Well, see, we're going to get the listeners by alienating most of them.
If you're not in this room.
Screw you. I got in trouble for saying screw on the Nickelodeon Family Cruise.
Yeah, you probably can't say that. It's a kid's network.
I go, screw them. And nobody really like reacted, but our director said that he got in a lot of trouble for that.
Did he? I believe it. Yeah, I believe he got in trouble for that. You can't say that. Nicholas.
I mean, it's true. I mean, I know it's true. It's like in the moment. It's
okay. It's all right. This isn't therapy.
Come on. It should be. I wanted to be a little therapeutic. That's what I wanted to be.
Then let it all out. I'm going to adjust my mic while you.
Okay, go ahead. I want you to feel comfortable.
That is comfortable.
I don't want to go into the Nickelodeon family.
No, you were telling another story, though.
What was I talking about?
I don't. Oh, somebody.
This is exactly what it's like. This is you and I having a conversation. We go and then I talk and talk.
That's true. I'm doing a pretty good job.
I don't know if you've noticed, but I'm even having to stop from going yes.
Mm-hmm. Uh huh. Yes. Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Just.
I'm peppering it in, like most things I do. It's intentional. I'm a very intentional person. Like right now, I intend to blow out this microphone.
Wow. You're dead weight. That's a great old bit from The Simpsons. Rips that right off. Oh. Yoink!
Well, since you're in the days of Great America, let's dial it back. Where did you and I fall in love? Where did that begin?
The love, I think, came a little bit later, but we met in 1997 at Paramount's Great America. We were both Ferengis doing the
further proof that we're the coolest men.
Oh my gosh! Not only were we Star Trek characters for our profession, like you put yourself through school with this being a Star Trek character for a good chunk of the time, right?
Yeah.
And we were the worst. I think the worst aliens to be in the Star Trek. We were the ones that nobody wanted to talk to, nobody wanted to look at. Everybody for those of you don't know, the Ferengis have huge ears, and Google the images. You'll see Quark was a Ferengi and all that stuff.
Of course, everybody remembers Quark. He's a household name from Star Trek Deep Space Nine.
Of course, who wouldn't? Kevin could probably name all the episodes that Quark appeared on.
Oh, that's tough.
Of the Next Generation.
Oh, then because
was he on the original? I think he was one. He wasn't the head one.
But he was in the pilot episode of Voyager. He was never on Next Generation. But the actor was in the very first episode that the Ferengi showed up. Armin Sherman. He played the very first Ferengi, and they were much. You tricked me.
I didn't trick you, but I would be lying if I wasn't sitting there going, there's a lot of ladies going, talk slower, Kevin. Give it to me slow.
To be fair, slow I don't talk much about Star Trek anymore. We were at the church. We were having a conversation about someone that inspired you greatly, and I said Gene Roddenberry, and the room turned on me. Up until that point,
serious?
Not in a bad way, but it was as if they
These
got
are Christians.
Little,
These are supposed to be people who love first.
And they threw things at me.
They stoned you.
They're right
still doing that.
Jesus. Jesus loves you. It was like they saw me in a new light, like, oh, he likes Star Trek. I still hear it every now and then.
I hate those people.
I don't talk about those days. Those are the days that I was eating a steak in a bag. That was back in the day.
You don't eat steaks in a bag anymore?
Occasionally.
Yeah,
occasionally.
That's what I mean.
I just don't eat it in the bag anymore.
Kevin, we used to call the leftover king because he always had like leftovers in his backpack and on his person. and just could whip out. Everything was in a plastic bag. Maybe this is why you and I grew to be best friends, because everything, like the Star Trek stuff, like I found it incredibly useful in the job that we had. Like, most of what I learned about Star Trek, I learned from you.
I learned it by watching.
and everything else. Like, I never thought of anything that you did, or even stuff that I did, was worth making fun of, you know, or any. I don't know. Maybe that's. Now I'm talking very seriously again. See, this is why we're gay for each other. Maybe I should say I'm gay for you.
I would agree. Do I have to say it back? That's awkward.
You don't have to.
Do you need
me
to?
But you should. Okay.
I think you know my true feelings. What is that beeping?
Hold on. That beeping means it is 9:15. Wow, we just blew a lot of magic. A lot of people know that now.
Now know what time
a lot of people know now that it's not, if you're listening to this in your car at 10 in the morning, that means that we did not record this live. This is not what you are listening to. I will promise you this. We will not edit. That is a
really,
unfortunate.
I was going to ask you to cut some stuff out. The part about the boobies that needed to go.
Oh, come on. You got to take the good with the bad. Because what if people do like the boobie story, even though you're not a fan? You know what I mean? And
that's true.
I don't really want to go through
it. The truth
is
no one's going to listen. That's really the point. What are you pulling out of your mouth there?
What is my wife's hairs? I don't know how that just happened. She walks by to go get the laundry, as women should do. And a hair of hers ended up in my mouth. I don't even know how that...
You keep pulling more out. The thing is, we're not kidding. He's actually pulling hairs out of somewhere.
Oh, my gosh. Between the dog and the cat and my wife, they shed everywhere.
But that son of yours, he is bald and skinless.
And talking.
Yeah,
he's all by himself.
And all by himself in the other room.
Listen, we can't leave this show right now. He's not really crying. He's talking. This would be a good time to record him, because he does his... I really hope there's some guy who's out there listening going, shut up about your kid, you idiot.
I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's because I love your son almost as much as you do, but I don't think you're one of those annoying people.
Probably more. I'll be honest. I probably love
I do hold him more. That's true. Who knew that I like babies? But I don't feel that you're one of those annoying parents that pretends like you're the very first person to ever have a baby before. You know what I'm saying? No, you know.
Wait, you're saying there are other children out there?
Yes. In fact, your parents had one.
Whoa.
That's how common it is.
You are blowing my mind.
That's the thing at our age. Like, you just get tired of hearing people talk about their kids as if no one's ever had one.
Oh, gosh. I talk about this in my act where we had this, people constantly were telling my wife, like, do you have morning sickness? Because they want to tell you how they got past morning sickness. Natalie never had anything. She never had.
That's not true.
She had a flu. She got the flu.
No, but she had 3 weeks where she couldn't smell vanilla ice cream without throwing up. I remember. I remember because I care.
I was trying to give Kevin a stern look to go, what the heck are you doing with my wife when I'm out of town?
You weren't out of town. We sat here in your living room and she would be, oh, I can't eat.
What did I have headphones on? What was going on? Was the TV on? If the TV's on, I don't listen. I tell you that right now.
The Xbox,
I've got a reflex in my head that can make it nod while I'm watching TV. And it's as long as I don't get it into a rhythm where it looks dancey, she buys it. She totally thinks I'm listening to everything.
She can pick up on dance because she knows.
She's a dancer.
Yeah.
Not that kind of dancer. For those of you, you guys would like to see my wife dance, you could see her at the Peppermint Rhino.
No, Spearmint Rhino, and no.
There's my joke, my friend. There it is, right there. Ha ha, there's the comedy, my brothers.
Oh, man. I only know that from the ads.
That's exactly why I do it. Whenever I tell people that my wife is a dancer, I would say, not the dancer you're thinking of. She dances at the Peppermint Rhino? And I love seeing guys go, Spearmint Rhino.
Oh, nice.
Oh, you've been.
and they're standing with their wives.
I don't know if any other guys, have you ever been to a lady club, a gentleman's club?
No.
I've been to one.
Yeah.
I think I've told you this story that Mike Connor, a good friend of ours, who we do Nickelodeon shows on the road, he's one of the kind of like the tech guys, former Marine, very funny guy. I did this hip-hop show about
Newton. He was the guy that would go to clubs or to casinos at 3 o'clock in the morning and clean the slate, right?
No, you're thinking of Jason Showard, I think is what it is. He's kind of a professional poker player. Like, he would go into these small casinos in Kansas City and basically make $3,000 from local beginners who didn't know how to play poker and had money.
They were drunk at 3 o'clock.
And he would just clean them out. Yeah. But no, Mike Connor, he was a former Marine, and he was the technical director of this hip-hop show that I toured. I was gone 6 months out of the year, 3 months on, 3 months at home, 3 months on, 3 months at home. And we were in Tampa, Florida, and he said, we got to go to Mons Venus. And I was like, what's Mons Venus? He goes, only the best strip club ever in the world.
What, do they have a water slide? I don't know. What makes it great?
This again, making the nerdiness that is us. Because if that place had a water slide.
Maybe you'd go.
I think it not only makes it cooler and nerdier. Because I'm like, oh, then I could walk down the water. And then the ladies go down the water. Who doesn't want to see some topless ladies going down a water slide? I'll talk slower, fellas.
Maybe in the eighth grade I dreamt of that. But I don't know.
I'm dreaming of it right now.
Can we get back to the podcast?
Yeah. So we go into this, and he pays for all of our cover charges to get in, and we get in there, and he...
Really?
Yeah.
He really wanted you guys to go.
He found out that I had never been to a strip club, and so we go into this place. They sent me by the stage, of course, and it's us young guys, you know, and then all these other guys that are in, like, 50s, like, creepy. Not that it's creepy to be in your 50s, but they're like, they all look like that guy, the character from Office Space. They go, you took me.
Right.
All look like, I'm not kidding.
I believe you.
Like, it looked like there was an extra, they were extras in a movie that they said, we want one guy looking, that's it. You know what I mean?
They're all clutching their staples.
Yeah, or there was a next, like, an audition for them next, right. Like, it was crazy. So, we get in there, and they, of course, start putting money in front of me because then the girls will come and put my face in their boobies. And I know this really makes me sound effeminate, but it was not enjoyable. It was not. Like,
that
there
doesn't
was,
make you sound effeminate. That makes you sound like a human being. Nah, why would it be enjoyable?
Because men are supposed to like that stuff.
Supposed to like that stuff?
Yeah.
It's correct. Go on.
Yeah. Because, well, and there was one girl, I'll be honest, because my wife is now not in the room. There was one girl, short blonde chick. I like the ladies a little stout. And she was hot. Mm-hmm. But I knew, because here's the thing. I know going in, there's nothing that's going to happen because I'm married. And, sure. You know, what's the point then? Why? I can't look at him without, you know, I don't know. It's stupid to me. So anyway, but my favorite part of this whole night was they had already had a bunch of drinks in them. And there was this girl who put her hand on the pole, and she did something with her legs that made the fat on her butt jiggle. And she did this in front of Mike Connor's face, right? And Mike Connor, with the most sincere look on his face, he put both hands over his heart and stared right into her butt and crotch and said, oh, you're breaking my heart. He was falling in love with his butt and crotch in her face. And that's what, because to me, Mike Connor is the epitome of what it's supposed to be a man. You know what I mean? He's killed people. He knows how to work a gun.
I don't know why that makes you a man. I don't
really?
I've never killed anybody. I don't think I'm a man. See, this is what gets me is how commonplace strip clubs have become. I was on AOL. That's America Online, for those of you who don't
remember.
Thanks
for breaking it down. A lot of new users who find our podcast because they are not used to being on the internet if they're fighting.
I don't get it. No, I wasn't actually on the AOL, but I was using the Instant Messenger, and they pop up that dumb ad page, and it has things. And the top one is strip club etiquette. And this is on AOL.
Wow.
Yeah, and in the article, I suppose, is about things you're supposed to do and not supposed to do in a strip club. But my question was, how did this end up on AOL? Like, it's become so acceptable that this is really what's supposed to go on. The men are supposed to go to the strip club. And it's not good. No little girl ever grew up thinking, I want to be a stripper when I grow up.
Well, you need to listen to Howard Stern more.
Yes.
Because they just had somebody on there recently who, when she was in second grade, she knew she wanted to be on the Howard Stern show and become a stripper, which when I was listening to this, I'm like, I think this proves everything that he was trying to fight against. Like, just because you listen to my show doesn't mean you're going to grow up to be a whore.
Whoopsie daisy. How old? Second grade?
Yeah, that's what she said. And here's the other thing that's interesting. This is my opinion on the Howard Stern show now. Like, I love it. Like, and I don't love it like... this is the funnier answer, I think, but not now that I said it. But I was going to say, I don't love it in the way that you love Star Trek.
Got it.
I love it.
That isn't funny.
But I do love it because it's interesting to me. It's interesting to listen to. And what's funny now is that remembering when we used to work at the park, I'd catch him on 106.5 up there, the rock station. Yeah. And like he was always like, even when he was under the FCC like restrictions, like he was, oh, it's like, can't do this, can't do that, you know. And it's then when I first heard him on Sirius, because I got to Sirius to hear him. And when I first heard him, it was like all like he just had this year of just freedom where he's putting girls on a Sibian ride and like he's broadcasting them having orgasms like there's just
anything and everything right. that you could possibly think that he would want to do. He just got all that. And so now he's like in his, I think he's going into his third year of his 5-year contract. And recently, it's funny because everybody on the show is in their 50s now.
Right, yeah, yeah.
And so
yeah.
There's this aspect, like whatever they've always been done this thing where like basically they play the top 10 songs according to Billboard right. or whatever charts. And then they critique them and everything. And now it's like he just hates everything. Like, he just sounds like such an old man, like talking about oh, these kids and their music, and he doesn't know who anybody is. Like if you mention awesome. A name of somebody, like he's right. and he's always getting names wrong of actresses now, and it's so funny to hear the edgiest person on radio,
king of all media,
yeah, king of all media, also become senile, kind of like it's right. the beginning stages of that.
Oh.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
Like listening to John Madden.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I can't even, I realized that recently. The last time I watched Sunday Night Football, I was like, I can't even understand what the, it's true that Frank Caliendo impression that he does where it's just nonsense that spews out of his mouth. Like I never.
If he's not talking about football, he doesn't know what's going on. No, but to be fair, if he's talking about football, the man's still a genius. But if he's not talking about football, you're like,
well, and I think if there isn't something going on in the game, you know what I mean? Because even when he breaks down like plays and stuff like that, like, even though I understand, if you could follow that stream of logic, you're like, oh, that's his point. Yes, that is a good point. But there needs to be that broadcaster in him to cut that down or whatever to make it more succinct. But I still, even when he's talking about football, like I find Brett Favre, you know, like.
Is he Kermit the Frog there?
Well, that's me. Okay. All of my voices that I do are black people. All right. If I try to do an impression of somebody who is white, I can't hang. Okay. But that was me trying to do Frank Caliendo's impression of John Madden.
Which is all good impressions.
Every sentence is Brett Favre.
Well, I remember when they were still on Monday nights with Al Michaels, right? And they had one of those on-field reporters asking him some question about some guy on the field, I don't care, remember. And he had 10 cars, and he named them each different cars. And so she was he named each of the car a different cartoon character. And so she was quizzing in sort of what was supposed to be, I guess, like a lighter moment of the game, Al Michaels and John Madden, what their guess was the color or make of the cars that he had named. So he said, Scooby-Doo, what color do you think the car is? And they're like, oh, brown, I guess. And they're like, all right, Shrek, what color do you think that car is? And they're
green.
Yeah, but see, both of them are like, I have no idea. Shrek, a household name.
Stumped him.
And I'm like, but these people could talk about all the plays all day and know the history of the game, but talk about Shrek. Like, I don't know, what's a Shrek?
And I want to know at one point, are we going to hit that? I mean, we're both, I mean, you're 30 now.
How dare you?
I'm sorry. Did I say 30?
Yes.
I meant to say 25.
Thank you for not insulting me.
I apologize.
Like telling people my true age.
I'm going to be 30 in January.
What are we doing for your birthday?
Sorry, I don't know.
We went to Vegas for my birthday.
I know, that was good times. That was good. Where did we go? The Star Trek Experience.
Yeah, we did. Oh, full circle.
Oh, and that was awful. It was not awful.
It was awful.
Yeah, I was going to say the epitome of our nerdiness was that we went to go for the Star Trek characters, right? Were there. We were critiquing them. I know that we had banter about it, but I don't think we really talked about it in detail. I was angry. Like I was frustrated because it was like, to me, this was the first time I had been. I don't know if you'd been before.
I'd never been, no.
Yeah. And it was your 30th birthday. So, I mean, your 25th birthday. So,
I mean, you were 21,
17.
shouldn't have been in a bar.
So like, it was a big deal to me. Like I want to, you know what I mean? Like, and I don't know why, but I expected them to be better than we were in the park. And here's the reality. Nobody really cares what we... Now I'm going to get depressed.
No, don't be sad. Don't be sad, Justin. Be happy, Justin.
Yeah.
Happy, Justin. No, it wasn't that. Is that I think we were expecting to be the perfect guest.
Yes.
Like we were people that were going to be interested in their character, be willing to talk to them. And I hope they're not listening. And if they are,
then maybe they
should take this as a constructive criticism. Because as one Star Trek alien to another, homeboys...
improvise your conversations with people. Please do not, because even if you don't know, and if you even if you've never been a Star Trek alien, which I'm guessing most people haven't, you can tell when you're reciting a monologue to somebody, and that's all these guys did.
Well, and what you just said made me think that I bet you these guys are actors who have social issues, because like they couldn't just stop and talk to us,
right?
Like, you know what I mean? It wasn't even about their portraying a character, because a lot of what we did was us being ourselves, talking through like the alien perspective, like, you know, but we could help hold the conversation with people. And I think you and I, being as gifted as we are with the gab, we can talk to anybody, and these guys couldn't. I don't I think you
That's
put these
true.
these guys are the nerdy wallflowers who thought, well, I know everything about Star Trek so I can be an alien.
Right.
But you ask them stupid stuff, like, you know, just to talk to them, and they were like, well, like, what did the guy say? One of the guys said to be careful about my wife, like,
oh yeah, yeah,
because she's the one who's really in charge. I'm like, really, really, you want to, you come from the 25th century and you want to talk about 1950s humor, you idiot, really? And then it probably made me mad because I'm really
the 24th like, century,
whatever. I forget. At first I got angry because I'm like, really, you're gonna bust my balls on the set? And then I'm like, no, it's funnier because you know it. That's what you do. But that's what, and it bugs me too, because there's this whole thing, and this is what a lot of my new act that for the next CD that I'm going to be making is about, is that this idea that women are in charge of everything and men are stupid, and that it's becoming a part of like media and unlike all this stuff.
Every commercial you see, it's all, I am really tired. I was on this soapbox about 6 months ago. I'm tired of every commercial being the same gag, which is the guy getting overzealous about something, some product, just being obsessed with it past the point of absurdity, and the woman being the grounded, sexy voice in the conversation. Every commercial is the same right now.
And this is what I say. I preface this when I start going into this chunk in my act, as I say, I go, listen,
I'm about to get political.
I don't make it political. Like, I honestly think I'm talking like I grew up in the 1950s. Like, I'm like, listen, I joke. A lot of what I joke is about overcompensating, about, listen, get your butt in the kitchen and all that. But I do think that it's coming to a point where it's no longer equal. It's not equal for the sexes anymore. The women, and especially in relationships, I'm sure that men are still making more in the workplace, and that's a horrible travesty. I just feel like women, like, we feel like we constantly have to play catch up to what women want within relationships.
Well, and now to downshift here, but I think, to be fair, I think that our culture, thanks, way to upshift it nicely down.
I wasn't meaning to. I
was listening. Yes, with your head
over listening is
almost parallel to the floor. It's so cocked to the side.
I don't understand.
That looks like that hurts.
This hurts.
You don't even do yoga.
I'm back.
I think our culture really encourages men to behave like children.
Yeah.
And I don't think that there's not a much of a call within men in the United States to be men. What was the guys that made Family Guy, had that live action show a couple years ago that came out?
Like, it was the guy Rob Corddry or something like that, Loser or something.
And the tagline for it was 30 is the new 13. And I always thought that's a perfect way of describing where our culture is headed, that even though you may be a grown man with grown responsibilities, it's still okay for you to behave and be entertained by the same things that entertained you when you were in junior high.
And wait, now are you saying that that's a bad thing?
I think that is a very bad thing.
Really? Yeah. Okay.
You think that's a good thing?
I don't know. For whatever reason, I was like, because my real stance is that I want it to not matter. I want everybody to be like, listen,
But I'm not talking about entertainment, like what shows or even what you consider entertainment, video games, comic books, Star Trek, all things I love.
Yeah.
That's not my point. But the way you are responsible for your actions, like the way you handle your relationships, the way you handle yourself.
I'm only 13. I can't be expected to maintain fidelity.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
That kind of. what you find entertaining, cartoons, all that stuff, that's not the point. But the way you behave socially, intimately, those are the things that I think, you know, that you look at shows like South Park, which is one of the most brilliant sociological studies in our culture. But it's still, it's all diarrhea humor and, and things. And I think we just sort of perpetuate that.
Yeah, because my real issue isn't like, because here's the thing. I don't think that like men should be able to hit women or that they should be able to cheat on. I don't think that. I just think that there are these guys, and I don't know if this is okay to say.
Okay.
But I'm going to say it anyway.
Good, good.
But
if these preferences are like that, then it sounds naughty and sexy, and then people are like, well, say it.
Listen, they're turning up their stereos. They're jogging the wheel on their iPod.
That's a phrase that needs, you jogging the wheel?
Yeah. Hell yeah, I am, brother.
Jog that wheel up to 11.
How do you think I made that baby over there? Wait, were we not talking about the same thing?
I don't think so.
We both realized at the exact same time. We're like, I'm getting that thing up to 11. We're like, wait a minute.
No, that's not what I meant.
I hate that there's this thing where you need to be a pussy whipped man in order for you to be successful in relationships.
This is the same thing.
Okay.
It's the same point that a man should be a man in a relationship. But I think my definition of man is not the same one that you described earlier with a man that goes to a strip club and a man that is responsible for killing another man. I don't think that makes you a man.
Oh, okay.
Do you think that makes you a man?
No. I mean, that was mostly for humor.
Right.
But I mean...
But I think that's common.
Because that is that Marlboro man mentality. It's like, I read it a horse all day. No, I mean... Here's the thing. I think I'm in over my head right now because my real issue is I just don't want to be nagged, and I don't want other men to be nagged.
Those are two different things. And sorry, I had a very strong emotion on this topic.
That's okay. No, that's all right. I just wanted to make sure that I didn't, you know, make it sound, I want to tell poop jokes. You know, what you're talking about
something. If you want to, it's your podcast.
It is the JK show.
Just call it that.
J comes after the letter K, and I don't know if that's true.
I think you do. There's a song about it. There it is.
HIKJ LMNOP. Yeah, I don't know. Write us an email. Nobody heard that, woman. My wife is calling me retarded. Here's my point.
We just need to get. She should be the producer of the show, and she just chime in
like Baba Booey and the thing with the stuff,
Or like Roz on Frasier. That wasn't real though. Been watching a lot of Frasier lately.
Oh, we are funny. We are so funny.
How are we doing?
We're doing great. We're doing great. I just want to check in because I really want to wrap it up around. I don't know what that. I listen to a lot of podcasts. I like to talk.
It seems long to me. I love it.
And who wouldn't? I would love to listen to somebody like you and I talk for an hour.
I know.
And
I would love to listen to you for an hour and a half.
I'm loving it right now.
This is good stuff.
I'm sporting a little bit of a chubby.
I knew it was coming. As always,
what do you think, dear? You think this is sounding good?
She's walking by doing laundry.
Yeah, like she should. You think it's funny? All right,
are you listening in the other room? She said she thinks it's funny.
Do you want to chime in on these women issues? Were you listening to any of that?
You're a woman.
You're
right?
A woman. Maybe you could chime. No, I'm saying chime in about what we're saying about women. Nobody can hear what she's saying anyway. Yeah. We'll have her on as a guest. She can represent women later.
Yeah.
We'll do that later on. Maybe that'll be next episode. Did she just flip me off?
No, does she pumped her chest twice and then gave us the peace.
She gave us the peace, one love.
That's what it
for
is.
For us, by us.
See. I don't know. I feel like we have several threads. Let's tie some of these up.
All right.
Where were we?
I don't know any of them.
The manhood. You
manhood.
Don't want to be nagged.
I just don't want women. I don't like the idea that there's so many guys who feel like they have to coddle to their women, and I think that they would be so much happier, and so would their wives. Because I know, and I won't name names or anything, but I know of many, many relationships where these women are literally destroying their lives and their husband lives, and it has everything to do with the fact that their husband won't put their foot down. But you know what? As I make that statement, I am sure, I just don't see them, but I am sure there are just as many examples of husbands doing the same thing, like where you get these idiots who are like, well, I run the checkbook because I know how to, you know what I mean? Like, make it funny. If you talk funny.
We have very important opinions on things that we know very little about, but we do them in very funny voices. That needs to be a drop. Is that what it's called, a drop?
Yeah, I don't know.
That also that needs to be a drop.
Is that what it's called? Look at that. That's my son watching us. Anyway, you were saying.
What was I saying?
I said that.
The coddling. So is your point that...
that the woman is allowed to run the relationship, or that that the man is not being the taking the role of a man within the relationship.
I think that's what it is. In the relationships that I've seen, because it's happened in my relationship. When Natalie and I first got together, like, there were a lot of instances where I made mistakes. I'm working on the issue of not being a jerk and being like, you've witnessed a lot of it, and I want to make sure
huge growth.
This is going to get really serious.
Maybe I should talk like this
the whole time, make fart noises.
Okay, since I had my son.
Have you heard this guy who cries about the Philadelphia Library being closed?
No.
Oh, it's so funny. I grew up here. Oh, this is a poor guy who starts crying. But anyway, since I've had my son, I want to make sure that I set a proper example. You know what I mean? I don't want him to, because a lot of what I say to Natalie, and she gets it, she gets me. That's why she's my wife, my soulmate, whatever you want to call her. My retard. She knows when I'm joking. There was a moment recently where I hope I can say this. I can't say it without saying the curse words that we use. But where I got mad at her and I called her a bad term that you should never call a lady that rhymes with punt.
Oh goodness.
And and she came in. I had to go take a shower. That's how hot I was. Like I was like
wow.
Not hot, angry. Like, no, yeah, I was angry.
You were angry. No, I got it.
Not rubbing my nipples.
Yeah, thank you for the visual.
You're welcome.
That's just for you, Daddy.
So I had to go lay down in the other room, and she came in, and she hit me with, like, probably one of the most solid pieces of logic that my wife has ever hit me with, where she was like, you know what? I never, out of anger, call you an effing a-hole, so why is that okay for you to do? And here's what I learned. I learned it because my father never said those words to my wife, but I, as the pupil, have surpassed the teacher.
Right. Also fly, ninja.
Exactly, in a very negative way. And so, like, I guess what I'm really, and maybe this is getting too serious, but, like, I really feel like I want to set a better example. So I'm trying to be better at not being a jerk.
Absolutely. Okay,
about everything
I think
it
that's
is.
Great.
But there are still those moments where I'm like, no, you can't, we can't do this. You know what I mean? Like,
what is this?
Usually in my relationship is that she usually wants to spend money and I say, no, we don't, we shouldn't be spending money. Like, okay, here's an example of something that people can maybe send emails to me and tell me how horrible a father I am. My wife wants to take Jacob, our 3-month-old, to go get professional pictures taken at a studio.
That'll be cute.
Oh, yeah. See, there we go.
I'm going to write you an email.
I say no. I say he does not need to go take a picture at a professional studio. We have a digital camera. We live in a world where we could take those pictures. And so we fought back and forth. And that's one of the things where I put my foot down and said, I'm not paying that money that we could spend on that, although it's probably 50, 60 bucks, is money that I would rather stick into his account, like, or
sure,
or whatever, or make sure that he has food on the table.
Oh, please.
But I just don't, like the idea of going down there and, like, posing him and making him do tricks and people clapping at him.
But I think her point is valid, is that she wants keepsakes because he will never be 3 months again.
No, and that's
what I'm
saying.
There'll be precious memories.
She said that. She said, I want memories. Right. I go, well, how is putting him in a studio in front of a backdrop of a park going to give you a memory? I'm saying, take a picture of him in that mat that we put him in every day that he hits the elephant rattle, and when he's laughing or when you're holding him,
totally.
Those are memories.
And those, we definitely live in the luxury of a time where you're allowed, where you can take billions of pictures.
Yes.
But there is going to be a significant quality difference, and you would notice it 10 years from now from the professionally done ones with a professional camera, professional lighting, and a professional studio versus your digital camera that you just have lying around the house.
See, that's what I think. I don't think there is that much of a difference.
There is. But thankfully, we live in Los Angeles where we know numerous very talented photographers.
Well, that was her other point. But then I'm like, well, then I got to pay them.
No, you don't have to pay. Just buy dinner.
That's what I mean. I got to pay them. That's paying.
That's not you.
That's money out of
every
pocket.
Every night I come here.
I know. You don't think I want to?
There's one thing I'd like to do.
Listen, I'm glad we have all these people in the room listening to this right now.
Delete!
that whole hour and a half of brilliance, and now it's gone.
It's really good. Well, here's my thought on the manhood thing. See, and here it comes. You knew I was going to talk about the Bible, right?
No.
Did you know that?
Okay. No, but go for it. I'm not against it.
Good, 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 because here it comes. In the Bible, the point of Jesus' relationship with all of us is that he is essentially the role of the man within a marriage. In fact, he refers to mankind, people, being the bride, and Jesus is the husband.
Mm-hmm.
So when we look at the way Jesus responded to people, anybody, or the way he asks us to act to each other, it's as if a husband would behave with his wife.
Okay.
And that role is oftentimes through what you see, what we're discussing here is the leadership quality of it, the point that the man is responsible for the leadership of the family, the direction of the family. And I really, this is why they tell us to memorize scripture, because it would sound so much more profound.
Go to BibleGateway.com. People's minds right now.
Just amazing. There is a chunk of scripture where it talks about how men are supposed to treat their wives and how wives are supposed to treat their husbands.
Uh-huh.
Wives are first. And the first few things are about obeying your husband's wives. You need to listen to them. They are the leader. And it's about 5-6 lines long. And then the rest of the verse is paragraphs of how men are supposed to behave as the men, as the leader of the relationship. And it's about being careful, gentle, loving, caring leaders. Because we look at Christ, and he's a man that would come and meet the homeless or wash feet of the people that he worked with, take a servant's role.
Yeah.
And I think that we see in modern times, and I know I'm totally guilty of this, in relationships, being a bully or being a whiner or being a baby within relationships and not taking a leadership quality, not taking a leadership role.
So then that creates an interesting dynamic is to look at it from that perspective, and that, because that then the Bible would assume that the man is the leader. Yep. But like what I was talking about earlier is that I think that just as many examples that I can think of wives who are, you know, this is so stereotypical, but this is my personal experience, is that are spending more money than what their husbands can make or both of them can make, kind of thing.
I think that comes down to leadership.
That comes down to a lack of leadership on his part.
Exactly.
But then they're like, what about the other side of the coin? Then, well, I guess, because I think what'll turn off a lot of women that would call themselves quote unquote modern women would be that term of leader. Mm-hmm. Like, you're in charge and I am there to serve you.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
It's definitely not a sexy term, but but I think that's because we've spent so much time destroying it and making it out to be,
I think,
more
what it's done is right, that everybody ends up happy.
Exactly.
Because here's my point. I think that, yes, there are exceptions to the rule, but I think more often than not, a woman is going to want a strong man. They are going to want somebody who's like, listen, I know what's going on, and let's go on 70-80% of the time.
Yeah.
What's going to make them perfectly happy is that also that 20% where you cry like a little girl every time you see a movie with Paul Rudd in it. You know what I'm saying?
That's very true. I think that's totally valid. But the point is that they're not a leader in that they're like a drill sergeant or a commandant.
They're not barking orders. No,
exactly. It's a servant leader.
They're like a front man in a band.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're not really, I mean, sure, there might be, the guys who are the guitarists or whatever, AC/DC, that I think they ran the show.
Were we playing that earlier?
Yes, we were. Well, they didn't hear it, but that's definitely, in fact, actually might be a good time for us to wrap it up. We're just over an hour and a half.
Oh, are we really?
Yeah. We just did an hour and a half. See, this is what I'm telling you. We don't have to plan.
We need to talk about how we first met. We were going to tell that story.
Well, we'll get into it. Well, we have all, the world is our oyster. The world is.
We could have watched something good, like a movie, but instead we listen to this podcast.
How dare you? How dare you?
You got to leave them laughing.
All right. Well, there we go. They're laughing at all the time that we wasted for them. Way to go. Thank you guys for listening to the JK show.
We're not calling it that.
So I hope you guys have had fun. For more information on me, you could check out justincomedy.com. Find out when I'm coming here. Sign up for the newsletter. Send us an email. I'll put together an email that's podcast@justincomedy.com. That you can send to us, or people can contact you, Kevin. Would you like to?
Well, I have thekevinmiller.com, or you can check out churchinhollywood.com.
Nice, nice. Well, thank you guys for listening. For those of you that are driving or what? I can't hear her.
I don't
have headphones on.
Saying. What is she
saying? We can't hear. You cannot break through. Oh, yeah, you can send us an email to suggest the title of the show.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, Pansy's in a podcast. That's what I'm going with.
Good.
We're going to rock you out with a little Hell's Bells if you're out there running or jogging or just driving in your car. Yes, you will hear the whole song. I don't know if this is illegal. I don't care.
Good night. Good luck. We'll be right back.
Boobies. Boobies. Boobies.